So 2 weeks ago, we've been talking about spiritual gifts. We've been talking about the body of Christ. We've been talking about building our gifts. And it's so exciting to see these things take place. There's so many different types of spiritual gifts that we have that God can give us. And so we've been talking about motivational gifts. Last week we talked about ministry gifts, gifts in the church. And today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, which I got to be honest with you guys, this has turned into like a series type thing, but I didn't really plan it that way. I'm not that talented, okay? I'm still in what you consider driver's ed preaching school, okay? And they're trying to teach us, but this isn't really planned. But that's the way it's turned out. So now we're on the manifestation gifts. Now, some of you may have heard that name before, maybe not. But what it is, if you've heard that, it means the supernatural demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. He's going to come up and repent. This is my nephew, by the way. The Spirit of God is the source of these gifts, and they are manifested for the benefit of others to bring God glory. So we ask God to come and move into our place. We see these spiritual gifts happen. This is God showing his supernatural demonstration by the Holy Spirit. So just a little recap. We have the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a common New Testament metaphor. And the church is one body in Christ. Amen. One body. One. And as the body of Christ, there's many different gifts. We've talked about that as well. And the body of Christ uses us, every part, every member, every limb, whatever it may be. But you get the metaphor here. This is all one body. So now we'll go to the text, 1 Corinthians 12. And many of you know this text. And we're going to go over this and look at some different things. Well, Paul was explaining to the church in Corinth the spiritual gifts that were there. And he then defined them and explained to them what they are for the church. So let's go to the text, 1 Corinthians 12. We have it on the screen here. We'll just read through it. And it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Verse 7. Now to each of the manifestation of the Spirit is giving for the common good. Here we go. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one. Again, one body, same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So you guys kind of see this common theme that we're talking about here, what we've been talking about here. One God, Trinity, three, one Spirit, all of it goes to him. He distributes these things. So Paul's explaining this to the church in Corinth. Now, it's pretty awesome to see many, many years ago. I wasn't there, but you get what I'm saying. You get to see when you study the text in the city of Corinth. So the church is planted there. The city of Corinth is taking off, or the church is taking off, I should say. And it's clear that when Paul's writing to them that there's spiritual gifts there. But Corinth isn't at all as great as what you would think it would be. Corinth was a very immoral place. That church needed to be there, that's for sure. Because there was a lot of problems, a lot of issues. They were doing a lot of things that were not pleasing to God. Corinth today would be like our Mardi Gras. Corinth today would be, it'd kind of be like a reality TV show. The crazy of the crazy. The filmmakers would go to Corinth. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. You get what I'm saying here, okay? Don't make me go anymore because I'm running out of examples. But you see what I'm talking about. Corinth was a place that needed God, and it needed God badly. So not only did Paul in this letter talk about those things, but he also talked about the spiritual gifts. And what's amazing to me is that we in America today struggle with those same things as Corinth did. The other thing is, in our church today, we also are given these spiritual gifts. So Paul explains these spiritual gifts and that this is God working through the people in the church. So we'll go back to the different gifts right here. Reuben, if you could work with me here. You should go back to... I'm sorry, go back to verse 8. So it says, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. Message of knowledge. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. So now we have the spiritual gifts. We have the serving gifts. We have the ministry gifts. We've gone through this all month. That's a lot of gifts that God gives us in this church. And as your pastor, I encourage you, and I've been encouraging you, to seek after all these gifts. You see, the body is a very, very important thing. God designed it to be very good. It's amazing what the body can do. But the body of Christ is so much greater. And when we rely on the body of Christ as a church, some great things will happen. When we cry out to God, and even though Corinth was having some struggles, obviously, God still answered and gave them these gifts to equip them, to embolden them, to help the church. Now, I'm not saying that we're in this shape as a church. No, no, no. This is a great church. There's not any kind of problems like that. But there are outside. There's a lot of issues. We have the gifts to be able to turn this community, these people that we know, everyone to the Lord with spiritual gifts. One illustration I'd like to give is how important every member of the body is. Some of you do different things in the church. I want to let you guys know that you are not under anybody. Each gift or serving that you do, or giving, or doing things for the church in your way, those are all very important. An example of this is my grandfather talking about the body. Many of you know about him or heard about him. He was a pastor here many years ago, preached for over 50 years, served in World War II, has a great testimony. But God saved him while he was overseas, and then he called him to the ministry to preach. But before he got back to good old Southwestern to become a preacher, he was wounded and had to have his right arm amputated. He preached the gospel pretty much in pain his entire life. He had shrapnel in his body. He had trench foot from Battle of the Bulge. He had to have his dominant arm taken off. And it was a constant struggle throughout his life. But God used that testimony to bring glory for him. And he was honored to do it. But one of the things that you don't really think about, and I noticed later on in his life, and how unbalanced he was without that arm. And especially later on in his life when he couldn't really walk as good, he would have to depend. And I always noticed that he was always off balance. Had a couple of falls. Had a couple of situations where you could see how his body was not right. It's important to have all the members of the body of Christ. We don't want to have anything missing. And I hope that you guys get where I'm getting at here. The bottom line is every member of the body of Christ is so important. And if not, there could be an off balance. Now, with that being said, God can use anybody. Yes. I'm not trying to limit God here. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm trying to put an emphasis on how important it is to use our spiritual gifts. So we have the message of wisdom. Very important. The Bible says we have to always ask for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. It's okay. It's a good thing. God will give it to you. Message of knowledge. We had that earlier during worship. The Lord revealed to Wendy a word from him. That's what a message of knowledge is. The Lord may speak to you and say that there's something going on, just like that. And I'm so glad that came up because you were able to see and witness a word of knowledge. That's scriptural. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. Then we have gifts of healing. We've had healings happen in this church. Praise the Lord. God can use anybody, especially you. I want to make it clear, though, that that's from God, not us. We can't heal anybody. If a person could heal people, the hospitals would be out of business. Am I right? It's the power of God through us to where we can have healing. And then there's also miraculous powers. Again, this is from God, not the person. But the Holy Spirit works through us and gives us these spiritual gifts. And then we have the final two I want to talk about. And I hope I didn't bombard you guys with all these different things. I encourage you to read these throughout the week and break them down. Please do that. I thought about maybe breaking it down so that way we look at two. But we'll see what happens. But I really want to focus on these last two. And that is tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for a month now. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights, which I encourage all of you to please come. It is so rewarding and so great. It's a wonderful study by our superintendent, Doug Clay, who he gives us a DVD series, and we look at it, and we just talk about it through discussion. We talk about not only is the power of the Holy Spirit through manifestation gifts, but the Holy Spirit, he also gives us many benefits in our lives as well. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us freedom. He gives us a way out. He gives us peace beyond no other understanding. The Holy Spirit is so important, and unfortunately, it's missing in the Trinity in many churches. So we're trying to put an emphasis on that and welcome the Holy Spirit in our church at all times and our lives. Now, the other thing that we mostly know the Holy Spirit do is baptize us in the Spirit. And he baptizes us with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, this is kind of a touchy subject, to be honest with you, nowadays. Now, it's not in this church, right? But it is a gift that sets us apart from other denominations and churches. Some people believe that tongues is real, but they don't really want to talk about it. Other people believe that it's real, but it's just not for their life. Other people believe that it is died off, which I don't believe anything from God's ever died off. Others believe that it ceased, but we don't believe perfection takes place until Jesus returns back. And we need these spiritual gifts, especially now in the times we're living in and for the next generations. Now, other people think it's just too weird. It's just too crazy. And you know what I say to that? I understand. I myself am a very logical person. When you think about tongues from the human mindset, it kind of weirds you out a little bit. Because you're trying to think on a supernatural level. Your body and your mind's beginning to go into a trance of supernatural, of a gift that God's given us. We're not supernatural, but I'm saying the supernatural gift comes to us. And when you look at it from a logical standpoint, you go, this is crazy. What's going on here? Some of you may have been praying and you begin to speak in tongues. You go, what's going on? I know I'm not bilingual. What's going on here? Right? Why am I saying these words? It's natural to think that. But this is a gift. And it is a direct prayer to God. And it is a prayer language. And it is a big benefit for your life. And you always have an advantage when you have this personally. And if God uses you in the church as well. This is what I tell people, and I have friends who think it's crazy. But I always say, don't knock it till you try it. And that's kind of a play on an old word, but it's true. You'll never understand it till you experience it. I just want to casually encourage you guys to experience that. Just seek it in your room. Seek it wherever. This is between you and God. I can't force you to do something. You guys know that. You guys know that I would not do that. But I encourage you to go after and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And He will. He will fill you. And so now we're talking about the church and the interpretation. This is another debatable topic, but I want to go over it. You may have heard this in other church services. Some of you may not. And I'm not trying to turn this into a lecture, but I feel that this is important that we talk about it. But there are times in churches, especially years ago, that people would give a word in tongues during worship, during time. And the debate was, do you always have to interpret it or do you not? Well, now we have the interpretation gift. So if someone comes up here and grabs this microphone and starts speaking in tongues for 45 minutes, we better have an interpretation, right? Because we don't know what they're talking about. This is a language that we don't know. But if you're worshiping by yourself and you're worshiping God or you're praying to God personally, we're not going to have the interpretation police come around and, you know, demand that. You see what I'm getting at here? If that does happen, I want to let you guys know that it's okay. Because we also have the gift of distinguishing between spirits and discernment. So to say all these things, and we'll talk about this more on Wednesday nights, and if you can come up to me, some of you are new to this, and please come to me, please do. Most of you know what I'm talking about, so I won't go too far into it. But any of these things that I've talked about, these are of God. These are spiritual gifts. And I'm looking at some hungry people. Not just because it's before noon. Nobody got that. Okay, thank you. Nobody is saying, I don't want more of God in this church. I know it because I talk to you. Nobody is saying, you know what? I don't want the presence of God in my life. I don't want to have an advantage over the enemy. I'd rather just live in chaos. And, you know, that's just not, that's not here. So this is an encouragement for you guys to go after these things, because we have a God that's still alive and well today and faithfully wants to give us these spiritual gifts when we call on Him. Amen. When we seek Him. And God can give you any of these gifts or more. Last illustration I want to talk about is more of like a race. A lot of times people go to the other letter of Paul where he's talking about running the race, right? The personal race. And it's true. Life is a race. You walk, you get tired, you get hurt, you keep going. It's a race. But as the body of Christ, it is a race, but it's a relay race. And any of you who have ran track or have seen this photo here that's on the screen, you see what's happening. He's handing the baton over to the next guy. See, the four-man relay race, you have to do things as a team. You have to be able to run. You have to be able to do your part. And once you do that running time, you have to be able to be on sync with the next person as they run forward, and you hand them the baton. It's not easy to do. You got to do it as a team. You got to know who's the fastest and who can carry it. You got to know who can pace themselves. You got to have one of the fastest guys in the end, right? Because they got to finish and see if they got to go better or back or this and that. But the bottom line is they got to do it as a team, and each person is very important. If one person messes up, their team does not make it. Running the race in our lives and as a church, we have to be able to take the baton and hand it over and do things as a team. We're not better than anybody else. We're not higher than anybody else. We're a team. We do things as a team. And just as this relay team does things as a team, we as a church must do things as a team as well. Yes. The body of Christ and the church is like a relay race. We have to do it together. So here we are again, towards the end of the sermon. Some of you may were not here last week, so I want to go over these four things. You may be saying, okay, all this stuff sounds great, it sounds good, but what do I got to do? What does this take? I'm a new Christian, or I'm a Christian who's coming back, or I want to be a part of this church. I want to be able to serve or have ministry, you know, serve in ministry or spiritual gifts or serving gifts, whatever it may be, what we've been talking about. I want to be a part of this, but I'm not sure what to do. Number one, you have to join the body of Christ. There's no other way to get into the kingdom than Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Through Jesus, we have these gifts. Through Jesus, we can do these things as a church. Through Jesus is the only way. He's our everything, right? You have to join the body of Christ in order to build the body of Christ. Number two, you have to learn the body. You have to learn what the body of Christ is. You have to know God. You have to know what He wants in your life. You have to know that God is faithful and that He wants to use you. But you have to know His voice and His word. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Do you know His voice? And if you're not sure, I want to encourage you, learn the body of Christ, and you will learn, and you will know His voice. Third thing, got to build the body. We build the body through what?
Prayer.
The Word of God. Building each other up, but being closer to Him. Just like a weightlifter. Do they start with 400 pounds? I don't think so. They start with the bar, or they start with fives or tens. Their arms have to build up the stamina to keep going. And over time, they continue this repetition, and they continue to get stronger and stronger. And then as months and years go by, they're very strong. Same thing goes for being a Christian, being a follower of Christ. In order to be in the body of Christ, you have to join, learn, and build the body daily. Prayer. Reading His word. We know how to do that because we did this fast, right? Keep that going. I encourage you. It's a good thing. Your life will be changed when you build the body. And number four, use the body. Some of you are applying your spiritual gifts now, and I think that's awesome. Some of you are praying for that now, and I encourage you to keep going. But if you have a spiritual gift, I encourage you to apply it and use the body of Christ. The body of Christ is something that we need in this church. And I know I've been preaching this for over a month now, but it's what has been on my heart every single week. And as your pastor, I just want to let you know I'm so proud. Because this church is not dead. It's unfortunate today, but there's many churches that are dead. And they need change. But can I be honest with you? When I first started pastoring and doing this transition, I was so excited. Because I saw the potential of how alive this church is. And how we were just ready to take it. And so we've started this race. And I encourage you to pass it on. Pass it on to other people with our spiritual gifts. Pass it on in the church. Pass on what God's telling you to do. Join, learn, build, use the body. Let's pray.